Okay, we'll call to order the June 2nd, 2021 meeting of the Town of Kiri Beach Historic Preservation Commission. I think the first item would be to make a motion to excuse Mr. Jim Dugan.
So moved.
Okay, is...
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next item is adoption of the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda, or does somebody want to make a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll move to approve the agenda.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion on adoption of the agenda? All in favor say aye.
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 I can discuss that under this hand. I could discuss that under
this. Yeah. Next item is adoption of the minutes. I want to just take a minute and look at the last month minutes. Yes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes or revise the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Written. That's presented. Okay.
I'll second.
Can second it. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Public comments. Anybody on the
telephone?
Telephone?
Yeah, just on step four.
What's that?
Again.
I'm sorry. It's weird not being able to see you. It's like.
Just us so far, no one's joined in.
Okay, thank you.
And council, just as an update, council is going to discuss how much longer we're going to do the call-in options for our meeting.
Oh, okay.
So that may change by the next meeting.
Okay,
so
all right.
Around, we may not have to do that.
Good.
So. All right. Okay, hearing and seeing, no public comments. We'll go to agenda item number 5. We've got three items here. Continued discussion of the design standards.
I'll take that.
Okay, great.
Mandy, is council or comments?
Council, are you going to hear?
Oh. That was always close to that one. I could see it.
Well, I have to look at this one. Yeah. No, I don't turn my phone off, too.
You're in your packet, correct?
No, I'm turning my phone off.
No, I mean you have printed in your packet.
That's true. Looks like I'm paying more attention if I look up.
Oh, I see.
Following last month's meeting, I made two changes per commission's instructions. The first change shows up on page 2, and that's up on the screen. That's a clear reference, as is also expressed in the regulations, that maintenance, repairs, and work which does not involve any change to any exterior feature are accepted from and not subject to these standards. So I think Ms. Zielinski requested that. And the final change I made is on, and I thank that professional, page 4, we took received the deletion from subsection L, where we deleted panels for decorative work. Those are the only changes I was aware of that the design standards needed. So if y'all have any questions or further comments.
Okay. Now again, these are our design standards, so this technically does not have to go back to council. This
That's
is
correct.
Okay. In the you know, obviously this is kind of a working effort as we progress in our experience as a historic preservation commission. Is there anything that might have popped up in anybody's?
Yeah, and I guess Joseph had, when we first started, also Craig reminded me. It's amazing, you walk around, and I was just walking down Atlantic Avenue, and what popped in front of me was the two or three 40-era cottages there, the Red Snapper, the Blue Dolphin, and the other two don't have any name, I don't think.
Curry Cottage.
Curry Cottage, yeah. And it suddenly dawned on me, here we've gone through all this to make sure nobody builds a glass monstrosity downtown, but you know, those two could be, and they're right on Atlantic Avenue, right on the beach. They are highly, highly, I shouldn't say highly, it's not unforeseen that those units could go. And does the Preservation Committee want to, I don't know what actions we can take. We were talking about maybe interacting with the homeowners and saying, hey, would you like to be designated a historical building?
One question, Commissioner.
Yes.
These cottages that you're referring to, are they in the overlay district?
No, they're not. They were down, if you remember, the overlay district, the expanded overlay district, we went down all the way down Atlantic Avenue because there was a hotel there and the council shrunk it down to the business district. So these are outside of the district, but they are that architectural thing that I could never get my hands around what we were doing with the business. These are the absolute architectural items you would want to see in Curry Beach maintained.
So what you're referring to, if you recall, the statutes allows to do two things, create and establish historic districts, but also there's provisions in there for historic landmarks.
Well, we actually have, I don't know if you call Anderson Battery a historic landmark. It's marked by a private citizen, but there was a Confederate cannon placement that has a verbiage there that talks about it.
Just trying to get ahead of you,
yeah.
Are you suggesting expanding the overlay district boundaries, or are you suggesting
first of all, I think some of these actually are technically in the historic district. I think Curie Beach cottages are in the historic district.
But not, the cottage maybe, but not the Dolphin or the Red Snapper.
No.
No, and so, those to me are really neat.
Yeah.
Oh, there, they look.
The, I think the question, and this kind of go back to very early, probably a year and a half ago, I think as we walked around the district and Joseph's mentioned this too, is that we have a number of cottages that date back to the 1940s that really do give character.
Man.
But we decided, I think, over time as a commission to not try to strictly preserve those cottages because the perception of some council members that it would infringe on property rights and all these type of things. So we ended up with a historic district that doesn't, that if they wanted to knock it down and build up something, as long as that's compatible with the area, it would certainly be allowed. The question now, I think, comes up is, as a historic district, is there some mechanism that we can designate historic properties and have possibly, it's not something we need to decide tonight, but just for conversation, to designate historic properties if the property owner is willing, that might do a better job preserving those properties as 1940s cottages?
Well, that's the question I raised. That's the other option that the particular statutes in question offers. I think that there's no other way to protect the structure other than the historic landmark, historic building approach. If commission would like, I can go through those statute, and I'm sure there's a procedure we need to follow that's similar to what has been followed with the district. If commission members would like, I can do a little bullet memorandum outlining that process and outlining what the statutes authorize and what process we would need to follow to get there. We can have that for the discussion next meeting.
Yeah, Joseph?
I wish Mr. Dugan was here because he's on the Federal Point Historic Preservation Board up in Carolina Beach. And conversations with him over the years, I know there are several homes that they would love to work with us and have history on them that they would like to, if possible, get designated as historic homes, like because they're Southern Carolina Beach.
Right.
That would be a resource if we could use Mr. Dugan. They would most definitely help us with that.
And I know that they do have a process of plaques. They have a 50-year plaque and they have a 100-year plaque. that is not a legal preservation process. I mean, it's certainly a designation in the sense of that. But I think the concern that you have is that, is there any mechanism by which, and what is the mechanism by which we might be able to preserve some of the cottages, both within the current historic district and maybe some that are outside?
Outside, yeah.
Good. And I'd encourage the commission to develop a position and instruct staff, because this issue is not on the agenda.
Right, okay.
So put it on for next?
Yeah, okay. If we could have that on the next agenda.
Do you like the bullet memorandum that I suggested?
Yes. Yeah, I think that would be very, very useful.
Joseph, can you think of, because I was trying to think, I looked at Doe 3 and I said, well, I wonder, down 421, and there's other, pardon?
The old Hampy Beach has several homes.
Yes.
There's homes on the south end. A friend of mine owns the old hospital that was down at Fort Fisher. So, and that house was built in the 40s, 30s or 40s.
So, council, it's...
It was moved from Fort Fisher, placed on property, and used as a residence after it was dumping the hospital for World War II.
So, in a general sense, and I think the attorney is correct, is that specifically we don't have this on the agenda item, although it is kind of a continued discussion of design standards, because the question is, can we build that within our existing design standards? And right. I think probably the better approach would be for Mr. Eldridge to put together a bullet point that would maybe look at the options related to this, rather than try to capture it within our existing design standards.
So would this be voluntary? If someone says, I'm a historic home, I'm about to get it's 72 years old.
It'll depend on
the town say, we're telling you your home.
That's where we need the advice of Mr. Eldridge to look at what the procedures are and that sort of thing. Because I don't know.
And what I thought we had that indicated that council was not really very receptive to forcing homeowners to do anything. So
it was voluntary. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
I'd like to know, like downtown Wilmington, once a home was designated historic, how did that affect the value of the home? Yeah. If it was in good shape and well maintained.
So as I understand it, we'll take this up again next month and provide you all.
But maybe put it as an agenda item called historic property designation as an agenda item.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
I had one additional question. When we put some of these kind of recommended standards together, we talked about shutters. Are we talking about storm shutters? Or if a homeowner wanted to put storm shutters, would that be something that you'd have to go to John? Or
storm shutters only go up for storms, is that correct?
Yes, the hurricane shutters.
I don't think you're changing any exterior features. I think you're protecting against the storm and they come down after.
It may.
They're permanent ones that are built in, I mean, that roll down.
That probably would have to go to John or the commission, depending if it's minor or major. If it's a change, the regulations occur. If it's not a change, they don't. The changes can be minor, can be major, use a reasonable person standard to figure that out.
So the reason I mention that is some of these old buildings, you know, when you change insurance carriers, there is a likelihood that they're going to say, we're going to insure you, but you need to put hurricane shutters on your building. So there's not an option if you want to maintain your insurance with that carrier. So it's kind of one of those you have to do. So how would that impact that homeowner? Does he have to go through this process? And what if it gets turned down?
Like I just said, if installing the shutters, the storm shutters, results in a change to the exterior features, then the historic district regulations apply. And the next step would be to determine whether a change is minor or major using a reasonable person standard. If it's minor, it goes to John. If John disapproves it, it comes to you all if it's appealed. If it's major, it comes to you all for a decision. And it can be appealed beyond that. But I don't know what else to say.
I was just thinking that's one of those things that can happen.
My point is this. I don't think you can, exempted from the regulations because you don't know. Exempting it from the regulations takes away the ability to control what the change looks like.
I get that point, but it's one of those situations that it's a possibility where it could come up, and it could be a little dicey, you know, because the homeowner's trying to maintain their insurance, you know, carrier, or in many cases they may not be able to get insurance without putting the shutters there. So I think it's something that I didn't think about at the time, but it's something it's real.
There's also the variance option as well, strict application of the zoning regulations resulting in a hardship, not the result of the owner's actions, may qualify for a variance. But I can't tell you why, but I don't think that would be a problem. I think if something is required for to have the shutters, I think there's probably ways and means that they'll get to the shutters.
We actually have it defined under the minor work anyway. You know, I think under E, you know, I mean, it's not, it doesn't say shutters, it says installation of storm windows and doors.
There you go.
Well, it's specifically. Yeah.
Well, I has actual erection of shutters.
It doesn't say hurricane shutters. It
just says shutters, right. But I mean, I would read it that way.
I would say, given what we've had here, and again, we can tweak this and we can add the word storm shutters in there. Clearly, that would be a minor work that John would approve, and we'd want that anyway, because if everybody knows a hurricane's coming, they might want to run up right away and do it, you know, rather than going through a full COA approval process. So, you know, I mean, certainly I think everybody might agree that it would be considered minor work
to put up. This is something I thought about, because, you know, it is that time of the year.
Yes. That's a good point. Do you want to specifically state hurricane shutters as within this definition of minor work?
Would it make your job?
These are not definitions, these are examples.
Example. Well, I was thinking of examples.
We don't define minor work per se, except that it results in minor changes to exterior features, and like a noise standard ordinance, I think John can just apply a reasonable person.
Right. The reason I think this is important, and although I was going to jump into really kind of C, is that when I was looking at a lot of different web pages that historic districts have put together, almost all of them have a matrix there on the web page to assist property owners to identify very quickly what is minor work, what is ordinary repair, and what is major work. So I think that we would probably need to have the same thing. So I think that, you know, making sure that our definition of minor work encompasses what we really think is minor work is important, because we want anybody who gets on the website to be able to click on that and immediately have a matrix come up that says, oh, yeah, you know, storm shutters are minor work. So, you know, I understand that these aren't definitions, but they're examples. But I think almost everyone that I saw has a clickable link on their web page for the historic district that shows, give examples what's minor work and not minor work.
Well, I think if the web page that you're contemplating links to the design standards, isn't that the same result?
Or it's basically cutting and pasting, you know, and you just go right to the design standards and you just cut that and paste it into a matrix for people to click on.
And that kind of segues into comments I have regarding agenda items.
Let's see.
5.3. So I'll save my comments.
Okay. Let's come back to that item then when we get to that. So is there anything, any changes that anybody wants to make now? I mean, we haven't even had an application, John, have we?
Well, again,
have we had any applications yet?
How can we have had an application?
Well, we've been in business for.
We don't have an application.
I know, we don't.
We haven't had an application.
Okay.
Didn't have a request, so again, I would hold this discussion until we get exactly.
Okay, all right. So, is there any specific changes or recommendations to what Mr. Eldridge has presented?
No.
Okay. We probably need a motion to adopt the recommendations from Mr. Eldridge as presented.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Let's go in sequence then. We have 5.2, which is the status of the HBC vacancies and member applications. Again, just to remind everybody that we need to have two regular members and two alternate members, and one of our regular members should be from the district. And so we have, Mandy, we have two applications so far?
Yes, sir.
What is the desire of the commission or a recommendation from Mr. Eldridge or Mandy as to what we should do tonight? Should we wait more? Should we decide on these?
I don't have a recommendation.
I wanted to ask, the two applicants that were in the group when Joe was interviewed, did anyone reach out to them to ask them if, or do they have to reapply, or can their applications be used again and we can invite them in for interviews? Because those were excellent applicants.
They were.
And we can have, I think we can hold the applications for 1 year, so we may can reach back out to them. I will say that we've been advertising
constantly, I know.
Constantly, and we're just not getting any response. Is Paul going to?
Yes, but in Friday morning, last Friday, of course, he's a bit overwhelmed with Memorial Day. He should say he would have done this this week.
Okay, because I sent an application like a long time ago. I don't really know what to say. I mean, you guys see it go out on town news. I don't know what else to do to get more people.
I mean, I don't know that I have their phone numbers, but I'll be happy to call them up and ask them if somebody can give me their phone numbers. I'll call them up and ask them if they'd still be interested.
Yeah, would they be interested in just, and they don't even need to really apply again. We can just use their P&Z application.
That's what Mandy said. It's good for a year, so. Actually, that their applications would have been in the agenda packet from 2 or 3 months ago, so I can
still get it to you.
Okay, thanks.
I mean, is that okay with the commission to have?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we need to drum up applications. So, I agree. I did have a question for Mr. McCone. His title is a magistrate judge. Mr. Eldridge, do you know him?
No, I don't know that.
Okay.
I actually worked with him briefly at the sheriff's office when I worked in the civil division.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I remember Byron starts with an A.
Well, that's right. Beth's over there.
And the other fellow I can't remember.
Who is she talking to?
Are you looking for him on the P drive, Beth?
No, I'm looking at the
Cognito
form.
Oh, okay, yes. So we could just
so
get
we have
right
two.
We have two.
But we'll get it.
We need four.
Okay, great.
Okay, so let's wait till we get.
Well, I mean, we could. What's the desire of the commission? I mean, we could actually make a decision tonight, I think.
On two of them.
On two of them. I mean, we don't necessarily have to interview them. I mean, we have their applications. We could interview them. We could wait. You know, I mean, we could.
I thought we always had to interview.
When you use the word decision, I mean, council appoints.
No, yes, I know, but to make a recommendation.
I think it would be prudent to have them in to talk to them first, you know, not just recommend them based right only upon their application.
Okay.
And we've always done that, so.
And if Kathleen reaches out to the others and they want to, you can re-interview them.
Then we can invite all four of them in next month.
So can we have that as an agenda item that, Mandy, would you reach out to them and invite them in for our next month's meeting for interviews? Okay. If that's okay. And then the two that you'll contact to see if they want to come in for interviews also? Okay. All right. So we'll have interviews
next
for our agenda item for July. All right. Anything further on that? Okay, discussion of COA application process and forms. Again, as everybody knows, we kind of jumped into this and became a commission without any sort of protocols or forms or anything. So we've talked about this, and I guess there's two things. One is an application, but Mandy, didn't you send out a recommended application like a couple weeks ago?
I did. For the COA, Kathleen worked on one.
Oh, that was you that sent it? Okay, all right.
And it should be attached to me.
Okay.
It is in the agenda.
So we got the application. You know, I did kind of a first cut as an idea of what the webpage might want to look like, and I looked at many, many webpages. And this one actually is kind of cut and paste from Durham's, which I thought was pretty good, with some minor changes and some other things. And then the other thing that we needed to make a decision on, we talked about it last time, but I don't think we had any vote, is whether there's an application fee, whether we were going to have a fee or not.
I thought we discussed $25 because that's how much they paid for.
Did the manager reflect we had some discussion?
I know we discussed it. Let me see if it's in the, if we decided, though.
Mandy can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that would be a recommendation from the commission to council.
The council, yeah, council would have to do it.
I remember something about $25.
I remember talking about it, but I don't think we voted to make a recommendation.
No decision was made.
But yeah, that's what I thought.
It was being discussed tonight with John present.
That's right.
You're right. I remember that now.
So, John, what do you think about an application fee? Because we need to make a recommendation to council.
Well, there's two issues there. Administrative approval for minor work, is that going to take a fee? And if so, does that fee differ from an application for a major work?
Well, it does. This is a quasi-judicial hearing for a major work, and that should be a significant fee because that's a significant
amount of man hours. What fee would you recommend for the major work application?
I think that's hard to say, but I would say I would match what our Board of Justice fee is.
What subdivision?
Subdivision Board of Justice is
$375. Oh. I mean, when I was looking at other ones, I was seeing $20 to $50
for
just an application.
For a quasi-judicial hearing.
You talking about judicial?
Yeah.
There is no way. That's...
Now, what they did is they actually required it to come in a lot earlier than we were asking. I mean, they were asking it to come in like 45 days before meeting and all, and that neighboring properties would have to be notified and a whole bunch of stuff like that, which we're not doing.
We're not?
No, there are notice requirements. For
there are notice requirements? Okay.
Absolutely.
Is it defined?
There are extensive procedural requirements that any quasi-judicial proceeding has to do.
But we haven't defined, because again, I did look at a lot of other ones where they actually define that neighbors had to be notified by mail.
We'll look at the notice requirements.
And those type of things, okay.
We can look at them if you want. They're in chapter 12. I don't recall whether they're extensive to the degree that you referenced, but I can assure you that there are quite a few hoops to jump through. And that it's all laid out in black and white recipe.
Well, it's going to be similar to what happens in the Board of Adjustments, correct?
Yes and no. 160D codified all these things. Before that, they were case law and here and there, but now it's all laid out 12.06.050.
Correct, but the person will make the application. We'll have a hearing. He'll present this request or whatever information, and it's going to be very similar as far as that aspect.
The way it works is this. The historic district, the preservation district regulations require an application and go on to say that if the application is for minor work, it can be administratively approved. If that administrative approval is denied, it comes to the commission for a quasi-judicial. If it's major, it comes to the commission as a quasi-judicial, and those regs go on to refer the reader to 1206050, which lays out literally, I think, from subsection A through L or K, everything that needs to be done for a quasi-judicial proceeding. From notice to subpoenas to taking evidence to what degree of evidence to distribution of materials. It's all there. And we can look at that if you
agreeing tonight with one, but that's it in general.
I'd have to agree with John if once you go to the...
May I say one more thing before you go there? Once you come into the quasi-judicial hearing, it's the applicant's burden to put forth evidence to show documents and testimony, to show that the proposed work, again, I'm using the historic district here, that the proposed work meets the design standards and the review criteria, which the review criteria are part of the zoning regulations, and that it's harmonious and consistent. So there isn't any staff may present a summary, but not a recommendation.
Correct.
There's going to be some staff work, but there isn't any prep work for the Board of Adjustment because theoretically you hear it cold so that you make an impartial decision.
Correct.
Okay, if I can maybe separate this, because we have two types, minor COA applications. John, I mean, for a minor thing, like if somebody wants to put up a storm shutter, just like, let's say we were talking about, do you think there should be an application fee for somebody to say, to come to you and say, yeah, I want to put up storm shutters? And what do you think that would be?
Typically, across all jurisdictions, your application fee is supposed to reflect the man hours involved with approving or disapproving whatever the application may be. I think our smallest application fee is $25. I don't foresee a whole lot of work with this. If we made it $10 or $20, we'll have no problem with it.
For the minor fee. So let's concentrate on that right now. Is there a discussion on the application fee for minor work?
I think the $25 seems adequate for...
Okay, so since that has to be approved by council, is there a motion to recommend for minor COA application fees $25?
I make a motion.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion on minor COA application fees? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
And I think terminology is very important. I'm going to digress for a minute. There's no such thing as a minor COA.
Okay.
There's administrative approval of minor work.
Okay. So we're talking about administrative approval of minor work here.
I'm just going to, with 160D changing terminology.
Okay. Okay, all right. Talking about major, or I know it's going to bug you, but let's say major COA application fees.
An application for a COA application for major work.
For major work. I don't have a, can somebody look very quickly, if somebody has access to a computer, can somebody look and see what Wilmington charges? The historic district for Wilmington for a COA application? Just so we have a reference point, I think.
And while we're doing that, so these hearings for the COA application, would we have to hire a court reporter for that too, like we do for Board of Adjustment?
There's two schools of thought there. I think Kerry Beach does that out of an abundance of caution. Other jurisdictions put that option on the applicant or the whoever's appearing before the Board of Adjustment.
I can't access their website at the moment.
I see the little reference up there between $20 and $100.
Yeah, I don't know if that's for them, though.
Oh, this page is currently unavailable.
Yeah.
But the process seems and feels like it would be for Board of Adjustment, so I think the cost should reflect something similar. I mean, the whole dog and pony show you got to put on is going to kind of mimic that.
And again, using John's analysis, what you're really underwriting is staff's review and preparation.
Yes.
I don't have a dog in there, but the 375 seems high.
That seems handy.
What I found when I Googled is the Port City Daily article from 2018.
Okay.
So it is a few years old. But for some reason, it's not letting me access the city of Wilmington.
What does the article say? Put out a range?
It says between $20 and $100.
And it's $375 for Board of Adjustments?
Yes.
Oh, wait, here it goes.
I go there.
I think we should be somewhere to Wilmington.
Well, it's...
John, do you see any less work for doing a quasi hearing for this, for major work, than what you do for a Board of Adjustments?
I don't see it on their list.
I see them as identical, one and the same. They're both very serious, complex procedures that we need to take very seriously, because most likely it's going to end up in court.
Exactly, and that's kind of how I was seeing it. I'd been on the Board of Adjustments. I just kind of feel like that cost needs to be in line, because that process is going to be very similar.
I might suggest, I mean, this is a good discussion. I might suggest that we do a little bit of research and see what other historic districts charge. I mean, there's certainly a lot of historic districts in North Carolina that have to go through exactly the same process that we're talking about.
Well, I think it also, is that just a fee for an application? Do they have additional fees for, like, if it does go to a hearing? You know, I'm sure other...
For a hearing?
Yes. So I'm sure that $100 seems relatively, you know, low.
But the hearing would be before the Historic Preservation Commission, and we're all volunteers, so we're not paying for, well, I suppose the building inspector and the town clerk have to be in attendance.
Well, also, if we're going to, depending on how the meetings are held, are we going to have a court reporter here doing...
That's what I asked Jim.
I was looking at the city of Wilmington, and I totally zoned out on that.
It doesn't sound like we have
to. I know it's an option. You go either way.
I think that if
it has to be recorded, don't
it? I think that's the downfall.
Well, because the Board of Adjustments, it does have the potential of going to court.
Right.
We need that information.
Right.
So I do think that's something that council would want.
When you go to adjudicate, you got to have it recorded.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can.
We would have it recorded, obviously, but I'm saying as far as...
Well, I meant... Court reporter.
Court reporter.
Yeah.
That would be my suggestion.
You'd
for
have
that,
to, yeah.
Just so that you get everything verbatim.
Yep.
Perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yep.
I can't find a quick answer to the general fee.
I couldn't find it on the fee schedule for the city of Wilmington.
Yeah. When I saw some of the ones that I was looking at, I wasn't specifically looking at that, but I remember $50 for one. I remember $25. I certainly didn't see any $300, you know, when I was looking at some of them. I think one of them might have been $100 or something like that. But
looking at other cities.
Looking at other cities. Yeah.
I just feel like if when it gets to that point and it's a yay or a nay answer to the homeowner and he subpoenas you to court, then I think the $100 is... It's not going to cover a lot of the costs we need to cover for the town.
You want to table this with more research?
And more thought, and just
see what other towns.
I mean, we certainly don't have to reinvent the wheel here. I mean, they may have a graded type of fee. So if it's rejected and it goes someplace else, they have to pay more or something.
Well, once it goes through the hearing, then. If I understand a quasi-judicial system like, you know, for this commission opposed to, like, Board of Adjustments, it's going to go to the court.
Well, what happens if they appeal our no decision? Where does it go then?
I have to, 160D is 300 pages of text amendments in my head.
I believe, according to the new ordinance, if the Historical Preservation Commission denies it, then they appeal to the Board of Adjustments.
That was my understanding. There's a separate application fee for Board of Adjustments.
If somebody's really committed, they could, well, two things. Yeah, that's my recollection, too. I'd have to look at Chapter 12 to confirm that. Number two, the COA decision can also be reviewed in court, judicial review. And there's a standalone provision where somebody can bring a suit regardless of going to the COA.
Right.
That's a new provision.
So that means they could bypass the Board of Adjustments to go right to the...
They can do that in planning and zoning now, too.
Yeah. Generally speaking, there's some wrinkles.
So there's a general feel to table this item for additional research, and we can all think about it and maybe do some research. And
the other thing is the scale of the town. We're talking about Wilmington, comparing it to Curry Beach. Is that apples to apples?
No, I think it's.
Or should we be looking at smaller?
I don't think the size of the municipality
matters.
Matters.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right, then that's.
All right, so the. Next item is, in this general discussion, is what the web page should look like.
Well, before we get to the web page, I think it's very important because John's already gotten a request to develop an application.
I was going to talk about that, but we can talk about the application first if you want to do that. So,
do you have a copy in front of you
of what you sent?
Yeah, it's in the agenda packet.
It is.
19 and 20.
Yes, it's very back, 19 and 20.
5.3 COA application?
Mm-hmm.
Can we get that?
I can't click on it.
You want a hard copy, Jim?
Here.
I have a hard copy.
Oh, okay.
Jim, do you have this?
I thought that was Craig.
No, it's the very back of the agenda item. It's 19 and 20, page 19 and 20.
Yeah, the application, yeah. All right.
Sorry.
Yep, sorry.
This way for Jim.
We're going to have to put, backup cameras so we can see them on either side.
All right. So, my intention when I... developed this. I did look at different other cities' application forms, and some were 4 to 6 pages long. And I came across a couple that were 2 pages long and seemed to cover everything that we would need. So I thought if we can do this in 2 pages, that was my desire. So I start out with just explaining just briefly so the applicant can be advised as to what they're applying for, then we get their information. And the wording to describe the proposed work, I took that wording right out of the design standards, what needs to be submitted with the application. And then on the second page, and then to describe how it complies with the design standards. Again, I took those words right out of the ordinance. And then they just sign the application, and then it's going to either be administratively approved or denied for minor work, or it's going to be considered non-minor work. So the next section would be the letter that John would, John's required to write a letter. So I thought, well, just to have something in wording from him that he can either check off that it's approved or check off that it's denied based upon being in compliance or non-compliance with section 3.2, to which he could date that, sign it and date it, and actually probably even give it to the applicant the day of the application, and that's well within the 2-day time period that we allot. And then if he determines that it's non-minor work, then there's nothing more for him to do with the applicant except to let them know that he'll be passing this along to the Historic Preservation Commission.
Which makes a wrinkle about the fee. If somebody comes in and pays the minor application fee and gets kicked upstairs,
how do we cover the difference in fees?
For sure. When I came up with this, I never thought of this as a final draft.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
But we could even, like, right there in those sections, when it's determined what kind of work this is, that's when the fee can be applied. That could be another check mark, a $25 fee or a $300 fee, depending on what's been determined that the work is going to be.
Will we need like a fee schedule, a sheet that would show, are we going to have several?
No, it's
several?
Only, it would only be those two.
One or two.
Yeah.
It would go on the
town. One or two, okay.
Our town fee schedule would be amended.
Okay.
By council, and they would add the fees to it, and then we would publish it on the website.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question, Ken. I thought you meant a fee schedule just for this application.
We would just add a line item to our fee schedule.
I think Kathleen's done good work on this. What I would suggest, I'm looking at it, I would make some edits to it. If the commission would like, I can bring back along with that bullet memo on landmark designations. Some examples to consider for application forms using Kathleen's, maybe coming up with some other options.
I think there needs to be an application for each.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that was, I did think of that too, yeah.
But I'd be glad to bring, you know, work up a minor and a major and bring it back for you all to discuss next month.
Yeah, I mean, I think this looks good too, but if you want to, I don't have a problem with Mr. Elders doing
sure.
that.
Sure.
So. Is this going to be put on the web for online application?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll make a copy of one out of it.
Yeah, I just wanted to have something. I just wanted to bring something to start the conversation because we got kind of hung up last month.
And I should point out, when I was looking at several districts and the forms and everything like that, it was clear that a lot of the districts are continuously updating because they have discussions like this. Somebody applies, it's a new wrinkle. So it's certainly not a, it's a dynamic process.
A living document.
Yeah. So is that the, it sounds like that is the desire of the commission is to have Mr. Eldridge come back with a major and minor work application?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, is that okay? All right, good.
And just, I can send you the Word document if you want to, because I have this formatted to be similar to all the other town application forms.
That'd be great.
When you get that done, if you want to send it to me, we can convert it to a Condito form.
I love that name.
And then we'll be able to walk through the form with you guys real time in the meeting.
Very good.
All of our forms have been, when we went to the new website, they've been updated. I don't know if you've seen them recently on the website, but they're all fillable on the website, and then you hit submit, and they go to the appropriate people automatically.
And you can work off of plain old Word doc.
Okay. All right. The last part is kind of what the web page should look like. And again, this is, I was going to edit this, but I lost both my computers about 2 days ago. They're both being fixed right now, so I'm working off my phone.
Your
but anyway,
doesn't have one?
Hmm?
Your car doesn't have
a computer? It actually does. I can sit in my cart and probably do it. But anyway, this was not meant to be anywhere a final. I was just kind of going through and trying to look at a number of different things about what other districts have on their web page. And these are kind of the major ones that I thought would be appropriate. And what I did is I put in red things that I think that we need to do. That certainly what I saw is that people talk about the minor, the major, and just repair work and so forth. But almost all of them had some sort of a work chart, a classification of work chart that, you know, we'd already mentioned with examples of what minor would look like and that sort of thing that people could click on and immediately get to. So I would certainly recommend that we do that. It would be more of a cut and paste off of what we've already done. One of the issues that as I was going through is the idea of a pre-submittal conference. And John, what do you think about that? Rather than just somebody, you know, for a major thing of all of a sudden we get an application that a pre-submittal conference. Many of the cities have that requirement as a pre-submittal conference with you.
Totally do not see any reason that would happen. I would be extremely surprised just to receive an application that was fully completed and ready to roll.
Okay. So anyway, so, you know, recommend is that, you know, we have that as a requirement, just say a pre-submittal conference with building inspectors required prior to the submittal of a major COA application. The other is penalties. As I was thinking about it, is what happens if somebody starts working on something without having gone through the application process?
I can answer that question.
Okay.
I'm going to make some additional comments about your document.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, feel free to jump into that right now. So,
first point, useful, good-looking, helpful, informative, yes. Also, redundant, which concerns me a little bit. Redundant because all the information is in the design standards and in the regs. One way to, but I do think you need a website present on those things. And I would encourage, I don't know how to do it technically, but I'd encourage you to create links to the design standards,
yes,
and also 1508120, which are the zoning regulations. That's my first point. Second point, don't take it personally, but I would make some major edits on this.
No, that's fine. This again was primarily cut and paste from Durham.
Third point, it's hard for me to visualize the matrix or the classification of work charts, so if you could, I imagine you're going to continue to work on that.
Yes, I was planning on doing it for tonight, but I lost my
idea. I'd like to see what that looks like.
Sure.
And then to, my edits would also more closely track, like Kathleen did on her form, the actual language of the regs. But finally, penalties. I don't think we can use, in your red, you suggested a $500 civil penalty. I don't think we can use a web page to set that up right now based on 160D, but also based on the historic regulation text amendments that you all recommended and that council approved. We've got, here's what's going on. John can issue a stop work order, number one, for work that's not compliant with any development regulation, including the historic district regulations. Number two, if approval's been submitted but the work is not compliant, John can revoke that approval. Number three, the historic district regulations establish a civil penalty in the amount of $50 a day. So if you're going to change that, we have to go through the text amendment process. And then number four is probably chapter 12, the 160D text amendments. You can use 168-175 which provides additional remedies, including going to court, getting an injunction, getting an order of abatement, those type of things. So right now, you've got a $50 a day fine, not a $500. Want to change that, we go through the usual text amendment process. Once council adopts the 160D text amendments, there'll be clear authority for John to issue a stop work order and also revoke any building permit or even a COA. And then finally, if you need to, and of course it's last resort because of the legal fees, which end up like graffiti and light nuisance, being a lien on the property, and you'll get those back eventually. You go to court for anything more that you might need.
Okay. I mean, that's, you know, again, this is language out of Durham. What I would recommend is that, you know, we table this and I'll work more on it and work with Mr. Eldridge on maybe some of the language and stuff like that and come back a month from now with. The only thing I would...
Your time periods are not accurate. Do you want to know about that now, or...?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was just...
I'll catch that.
Yeah,
okay.
So...
In other words, I'm going to read this against the regs and also chapter 120, I mean chapter 12.
Oh, I thought Craig was going to revise this.
Well, if I mean, if you want to do a first cut on some of the language, that would certainly be fine. But let me do a revision first before I send it to you, okay. If that's okay.
I'm mostly interested in your matrix.
Sure. I somewhat disagree with you that I do believe the web page is important because most people aren't going to go directly to the design standards. That's very legalistic and that sort of thing. I think they're going to be looking at the web page, and you know, I think the chart is very important so they can see what to do. But I think the web page has to describe in a much more succinct and clear way what we're trying to capture in our design standards.
I didn't mean to suggest that it. I thought I made it clear that the web page is a great idea. The only suggestion I would make regarding the what I do see is what my concern is the flip side of that. I don't want somebody to go to the web page and then not go to the design standards and not go to the regs. So that's going to be more work for John and the commission. My only suggestion, because I do think a web page is important, is to include links to the design standards and the regs.
And they all do, and that's just an oversight. But you know, clearly they all do. So if that's okay, I'll continue to work on this, and then work with Mr. Eldridge and try to bring back something a little more revised and appropriately worded for our next meeting.
Sounds good.
Okay, is that okay?
Yep.
Everybody, okay, good. All right.
Where did you say you were looking at it at? City?
Durham.
Durham. Okay, I wanted to just take a peek at it too.
Yeah, and Durham's is more complicated than what I have here.
Because Beth and I will actually be building the web page.
Okay. Yeah.
So I just want to kind of look at and see their.
Yeah, I looked at probably about 10 different ones, and I just kind of thought, well, Durham was a little clearer in terms of the steps and the penalties and all that sort of thing.
Because the way our website's built, like there's different. It's almost like our web pages are divided into like three sections, and so we can edit, we can add things here, we can add things here, and we can add things here.
Okay.
And just for your information, for the whole everybody's information, when you see us put things on the website, if you'll notice that since we've made the switch over to the new website, we try to not make the pages like extremely wordy and long, so that you're just constantly going down the page, because the analytics and statistics that BC3 ran for us and all the click history and all the reports that they did, they found that no one is actually scrolling down. They're not getting, you know what I mean? So we've been working really hard to try to keep it neat and clean, and like you got your title with your link, you know, like brief instead of just like words and words on pages. Because we were doing that, because there's so much information and you want to provide all of it. So we'll work with y'all on that.
No, that's fine. And I actually combined, because they actually had two separate web pages, one for classification of work and then one for the process. But I just put them all on one.
Yeah, and we can work together to do the page layout.
Okay, all right. Last item is, you know, discussion we had last time about procedure. And, you know, I suggested a number of different things, most of which were not, didn't sound like they were very positive. So I think, you know, my recommendation is some sort of a statement that we use Robert's Rules of Order, as long as it doesn't conflict with state or town. But maybe.
Depending on what the commissions decide, what the process, if you all want to do that, we'll bring a text amendment to the rules, a very simple text amendment to the rules of procedure to council, rules of procedure for both commissions, that simply says that.
You know, yeah, okay.
Rules of order, but that would be an amendment that council would need to act on.
So I won't suggest like the 72-hour stuff and all that sort of thing I was talking about last time, but I do think we should have a Robert's Rules of Order amendment in there, if that's okay.
Yep.
All right, so
do we need to make a motion on that, or?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and make a motion to that effect. So, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Electric vehicle charge. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong thing. I got flipped. Okay, there you go. I flipped on that. Okay, I think that's all we have for tonight. On
yeah.
Yes. Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Favor, say aye.
Aye.
Do we need a break?